as gifts, but you better take a diamond ring. You better pawn it, babe. You used to be so amused at Napoleon in rags and the language that he used. Go to him now, he calls you, you can't refuse. When you ain't got nothing, you got nothing to lose. You're invisible now, you got no secrets to conceal.
Dylan on your radio, friend, and this is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein, and he is the Speaker of the House of Representatives. Please welcome back to Community Conversations, Speaker Paul Ryan. Mr. Speaker!
Hey, I think it's the first time I've heard Bob Dylan on WRJN.
We don't listen enough.
Make sure you listen enough. Glenn Klein, middays on your radio friend, WRJN.
Glad you're listening on this Throwback Thursday morning. Well, now every time Speaker Paul Ryan hears Bob Dylan on WRJN, as well as yourself, you will be hearing a winner of the Nobel Prize for Literature. That's right. It was announced this morning that little Bobby Zimmerman has been awarded the Nobel Prize for Literature. At least he earned the prize, as opposed to President Obama, who was awarded the Nobel Prize for Peace before he did anything. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, play-by-play man, and color analyst for life, all wrapped up into one nice, neat package, Glenn Klein. It is 18 minutes after 9 o'clock on your Thursday morning. I saw Bob Dylan in concert. I was in college at the University of Missouri. That's where I started school. I grew up in Chicago, went to Maney's High School in Park Ridge, Illinois, and by the way, also the high school of the next president of the United States of America, Hillary Rodham at the time. Not happy about it, but it's going to happen, folks. The writing is on the wall. She's leading in Wisconsin. The Trump campaign is pulled out of Virginia. So the next president and I went to the same high school. Me, Hillary, Harrison Ford, the late actress Karen Black, Scott Cohn, who's been on this radio program on several occasions, the NBC News business analyst and reporter, and Adam Clayman. You ask who Adam Clayman is? He's a good friend of mine from high school. Played basketball for the Maine East Blue Demons. But anyway, I left the Maine East and I went down to the University of Missouri to start my college career in the journalism school. That was the plan, that I would get my journalism degree. That's when there was actual journalists out there. And eventually I transferred to Madison and got my degree in radio, television, and film from UW. But in any case, I was in Columbia, Missouri, and a bunch of my fraternity buddies and I hightailed it over to St. Louis to see Bob Dylan. And Bob Dylan had just announced that he had gotten born again. And he produced some amazing music during those years. I'd have to break some out later on in the broadcast. And I'm going to, for sure, because there were some really profound, biblically-based songs that Bob Zimmerman, better known as Bob Dylan, nice Jewish guy, like your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, produce after he had what he described as a born-again experience. And we went to the old Checker Dome in St. Louis to hear him. There were about 18,000 people there. It was not a great venue. But he proceeded as a baby Christian to preach to us, to try to get us saved. The crowd was booing him. It was really something. He played some of his songs. It was pretty much a hot mess. But the best thing that ever happened to Bob Dylan after he had this spiritual experience is that the evangelical community did not embrace him because he was Bob Dylan, I guess. I mean, you would think that what they're all about is seeing people saved, people born again, their lives transformed, repenting from their so-called sin, from their evil ways. But they rejected him. Jim Baker didn't have him on the PTL Club. Pat Robertson didn't have him on the 700 Club. It was the best favor the evangelical community could have done for Bob Dylan. Because when you get involved in that mindset, it really messes with you. And I can speak from personal experience. I had a spiritual experience with Christ when I was 25. And I was not rejected by the sect that I was introduced to right after that experience. I knew nothing about religion at all, as far as Christian religion is concerned. I had Christian neighbors that were Catholics. I enjoyed going over and enjoying some Christmas cookies around the holidays. But I had a true experience. I cannot deny it. I would never deny it. It's one of the most profound and biggest turning point moments of my life. But what happens is when you have this experience, and I'm sure that a number of you, maybe many of you, have had a similar experience in your lives, and you experience the love of God. You experience forgiveness. You experience the sense of being free from sin emotionally. For me, as the inquisitive person that I've always been and remain, I wanted to know what happened to me, what this was all about. And a couple of guys who were influential in my life to that moment, I always had believers, if you will, in my life. But the last two guys that witnessed to me was the guy who took Dawn's and my pictures at our wedding that we had in Eagle River at the summer camp in 1983, and a guy named Michael Mathis, who I worked with in Chicago in the early days of owning the summer camp. We worked at a tennis club in Highland Park. And those guys both were in a certain sect of Christianity, and so that's where I went. And for the next 10-plus years or so, I dove in headfirst, as I do, and I got immersed in a really, this is all my opinion, of course, a really destructive pattern of spiritual abuse and almost a controlling atmosphere where literally everything that you did was controlled by the dictates of the congregation and the pastors. Now, my summer camp in Eagle River was comprised primarily of Jewish kids, as I was. Never got it involved in the camp. I didn't think that that was fair. That's not what the parents were sending their children to northern Wisconsin for. But in my own personal life and in my family's life, it was an enormous part of our experience for the first 10 or 12 years that Dawn and I were married. And as we started having children, we have six. And eventually, what I was teaching, because I became a minister myself, therefore what I had been taught, wasn't making any sense to me. Now, I grew up in Chicago and went to synagogue, and I really had a huge amount of respect for my rabbi, Rabbi Mark Shapiro, at B'nai Joshua Beth Elohim in the suburbs of Chicago. It was in Glenview at the time. And I was always very spiritually inquisitive. And when I was about 19 years old, right about the time I saw Bob Dylan in concert, I went back to Rabbi Shapiro after having been bar mitzvahed and confirmed at the synagogue there. And I said to him, Rabbi, why don't Jews believe in Jesus? And here's a man who had walked with Martin Luther King in Selma, Alabama. He was really and is really a tremendous, beautiful human. But his answer to me was basically, Glenn, because we don't. That was not satisfying to me. So I continued being open to the claims that Christ was the prophesied Jewish Messiah from the Jewish scriptures, but nothing ever really happened until I had what undoubtedly was a similar experience to what Bob Dylan had before I heard him in concert. But after about 10 years in religion, in the same way I wasn't satisfied with Rabbi Shapiro's response to me, I wasn't satisfied with what I was hearing from the pulpit. And so I took it upon myself to go back to the original languages of the text to see what it really said. Because I noticed in the King James Bible, which is the Bible that I was using, that the word Easter appeared in the New Testament writings. And I knew that they were not celebrating Easter during the time of Christ and the time of the disciples. They mistranslated the word Passover to Easter. It was a religious and a political decision at the time. So I wondered to myself, well, what else is mistranslated? So I went back to the original languages of the scriptures, the Hebrew, the Greek, and the Aramaic. And I found out that pretty much 180 degrees opposite of what I was being taught, and therefore what I was teaching, was not in those ancient texts. And this has been going on for thousands of years, ladies and gentlemen. And it is impacting our society right now. The misunderstanding of the love of God, the misunderstanding of the work of the Mashiach, that's Hebrew for Messiah, the Anointed One. It's impacting our presidential elections right now. It's impacted and is impacting the behavior of men like Donald J. Trump and the former president of the United States, Bill Clinton. So much of the aberrant behavior that we see sexually, the stunted perspective we have on human sexuality, comes from where? Religion. Religion actually means something. It's from the Latin root word religare. Religion in Latin means to put back under bondage. Not to put in bondage. To return someone to bondage. To re-legion. And the mindset that is produced society-wide is incredibly damaging to our country. Coming up after the great Tom Carco's news update, I'm going to tell you why this is so damaging and has been throughout the history of the country, and how the hacked emails, we now know that Hillary Clinton's subordinates and assistants have been very critical of Catholicism and evangelicalism in their comments, what their thoughts are, what the response has been from the Christian right to the revelation of Donald Trump's, they're talking about lewd talk. It wasn't lewd talk. If he did what he's being accused of now, it came out yesterday, and what he admitted to Billy Bush in the Access Hollywood videos, it's not just lewd comments. It's illegal. It's sexual assault. If Bill Clinton is guilty of what the women who for decades have been accusing him of some of those things, it's not just misbehavior. It's rape. This is really serious stuff. And it's impacting our lives, not just on a national and international scale, but locally right here in southern Wisconsin. Is there a different way to look at human sexuality and how it impacts our everyday lives? I will get to that after Tom's update coming up in about 45 seconds.
Real Racine invites you to take a fall drive on the scenic back roads of Racine County. You'll see quilts.
Everybody's talking at me. Can't hear a word they're saying. Only the echoes of my mind. I won't let you leave my love behind. No, I won't let you leave.
Everybody is Talking on your radio friend. It's 6 minutes until 10 o'clock on your throwback Thursday morning. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, play-by-play man, and color analyst for life, all wrapped up into one nice, neat package, Glenn Klein. And everybody's talking about these latest accusations about the Republican nominee for President of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump. And they're going to keep coming. Do you think, beautiful humans, that it's just a coincidence that these things are coming out less than a month before the election? They're not. And then Trump has said, if they keep bringing it, he's going to keep bringing it on the accusations of sexual assault by the former president, number 42, William Jefferson Clinton. And people say, well, Bill is not on the ballot. This is true. But what Trump is saying and what people have said for decades is that Grandma Hillary enabled Bill. She was in charge during the 1992 campaign that they themselves, the Clinton campaign, called the Sluts and Nuts Brigade to take care of the accusations, because they knew. James Carville used to call them the bimbo eruptions. They knew what they were facing. Now, obviously, I have no idea if the accusations are true, but Hillary herself has said that women that are claiming rape should always be believed. Although she said that Monica Lewinsky was a whack job. She didn't believe. Every society goes that at the highest level goes through sexual scandal. It's just part and parcel with the human experience. But it is particularly unique in the way that it happens in this country. François Mitterrand, the former prime minister and president, or I guess he was the president of France, when he died, not only did his wife go to his funeral, but his mistress went to his funeral too. There have been French presidents that have gotten divorced during their administration and taken up with their ex-girlfriend, because the French are not stunted on sexuality. But this is part of our history. Remember, the first people that came over were the Pilgrims, the Puritans. They were really messed up when it came to sex. And we are by far the most religious Western democracy that there's left. And I am not saying that there has not been good things done by the religious and by religion. But the emails that came out yesterday that were hacked from Hillary Clinton's very close associates and assistants, advisors, communications people, spokespeople, they are articulating a desire to see, and see, this is the problem. Hillary called half of Donald Trump's people a basket of deplorables. Everybody's a beautiful human. That's the understanding that I got going back to the original languages that the scriptures in the New Testament were written in. Everybody's already good to go. When you think that you're a sinner in need of salvation, in need of grace, when you already have it, you are going to be tempted to do what you want to be, do even more so. The misunderstanding of religion has messed this country up big time to this moment. Bill Clinton missed a huge opportunity when he got caught with Monica Lewinsky. Here's what he should have done, in my humble radio talk show host opinion. First of all, he said that oral sex was not real sex. Do you know that that influenced an entire generation? There are kids from the time that Bill Clinton was president to right now that thinks, oral sex is not really sex. Really, Bill? That's number one. Number two, he comes out and lies not only to his wife, not only to his daughter, not only to his administration, the entire cabinet, the entire world, and the country, and took us through that year. Why? Because he was ashamed, because Bill Clinton was a religious or had a religious background. Instead of realizing that you don't gain your sense of power and well-being from your sexual conquests. Remember, Bill Clinton's father was an alcoholic. He didn't get the love of his dad. So where are you going to find love from? In all the wrong places. But he missed a huge opportunity when he could have come before the country and instead of pointing his crooked finger at us and saying, I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky, he could have said, listen, there's allegations out there, there's reports out there of things that were involving my private life. With respect, it's going to remain private between me and my wife and my daughter. But he couldn't do it because he felt guilty. Paul, who was the apostle of grace, grace literally means, beautiful humans, unmerited favor. That's what it means. It's favor that you cannot earn. You cannot gain God's grace. There's no way, shape, or form. It's a free gift. You don't have to receive it. You can if you want, but you don't have to. And Paul, who said that, who was a Jewish guy named Saul before he becomes known as Paul, he said that if you add law to grace, if you add that sex, drugs, and rock and roll are bad, that you've added power to the temptation that you're already tempted with. We're human beings. We're sexual beings. Of course we're going to be tempted. But when you draw a line in the sand, so to speak, and say you will never cross that line, that which you are tempted with already is going to be empowered. And then we feel guilty. And then we take advantage because we have self-loathing from that guilt. We take advantage when we're in positions of power. Trump said it to Billy Bush. And Billy Bush went along with it. And now he's lost his gig at the Today Show. This campaign is personifying the people involved with it, everything that is wrong with this country right now. We're all divided along political lines, along racial lines, along religious lines, and it is really, really counterproductive, said Captain Obvious.
Your radio friend is AM 1400 WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee. A Magnum.media station.
The community conversation continues on the other side of WRJN, covering the world on this Thursday morning.
Zimmerman's Nobel, claims against Trump. I'm Evan Haining. It's long been rumored that Bob Dylan was being...